We're holding on Chof Amud Aleph, Ikadamri, two lines from the top. The Gemara started a discussion at the very end yesterday about whether the last Adar before Nisan, regular Adar, in a regular year Adar Sheni, in a leap year, is always Choser. And we said the Mishnah Torah, the next Mishnah talks about that that when it comes to Nisan and Tishrei, the Edom can be Mechal Shabbos to come testify in Beis Din. And we said we ended up saying that doesn't prove whether Adar before Nisan is always Malay or Choser. All it proves is Mitzvah L'Kaddish Al Ar'iyah, that there is a Mitzvah that Beis Din should be following Edom to declare Rosh Chodesh. So now, Ikka D'Amri, a different version of the argument, Amar Rav Nachman, Afanan Nami Tanena. Indeed, we've learned in the Mishnah, the previous one was we asked, Rav Nachman had used the Mishnah to ask on this Adar Asamach Onis and La'ilam Chaser, that if it's always Chaser, why do the Edom need to be Mechal Shabbos to come to Beis Din? On the contrary, in this one, Rav Nachman says we have a proof. When necessary, that's what we're saying. If they see the moon on Friday night, they're allowed to travel on Shabbos to Beis Din. We'll learn that in the next Mishnah, and we'll learn more about it. We'll learn more about it at the end of the parak.
Beyond the
Tchum,
in other words?
Yeah. It involves going beyond the Tchum. It involves even carrying supplies and whatever on Shabbos if need be. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to it in the next few Mishnah. So, the Mishnah says, Al Shnei Chadashim Mechal Lam Shabbos, on Nisan Val Tishrei, that the 2 months for which the Edim can be Mechal Shabbos to come to Beis Din, Nisan and Tishrei. Now, if you say that the month of Adar, the one before Nisan, is always Chaser, well, then Mishum Hachim Mechal Linen. Then we understand why the Mishnah is saying when it comes to establishing when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, the Edom can be Mechal Shabbos if need be to come to Beis Din, the Mitzvah L'Kaddish Al Ar'iyah. Because the Beis Din has Mitzvah that they should follow the sightings of Edom and declare Rosh Chodesh only on that basis. Eli, I'm at Zimnin Molev, Zimnin Chaser. But if you say, on the contrary, that sometimes the month of Adar then before Nisan, sometimes it's 29 days, sometimes 30, am I Mechal Linen? Then why would we allow the Edom to be Mechal Shabbos? Na Abreha, Edom Nechad Shelamacha. Just say, okay, you know, it's Shabbos, what's supposed to be the first of Nisan, the 30th day since the previous month. What would be the first of Nisan if Edom come is on Shabbos? We can't do that. So fine, we'll make it a 30-day. We'll make it a 30-day Adar.
But we just said that it's supposed to do it by Ar'iyah.
No. The point that we're assuming right now that when we say the mitzvah l'kaddish al pi Ar'iyah means that you can't declare a 29-day month without having Edim.
Correct.
But if you want to postpone Rosh Chodesh and make Rosh Chodesh a day later, big deal. You don't need Edim for that. That's the assumption now.
Can you do that?
That's what we're asking. Instead of saying that the Edom should be Mechal Shabbos, why don't we just say, you know what, we have a day to play with anyway, fine, let the Edom not be Mechal Shabbos, we'll make it a 30-day Adar, finished. If we say that Adar has to be 29 days, well then there's no choice, in other words, Nisan always has to be, Rosh Chodesh Nisan always has to be the 30th day, well then, yeah, because Mitzvah, the Kaddish Al-Piyariyah, then yeah, you have to have Edom come, and if that involves them being Mechal Shabbos, then you'll have them be Mechal Shabbos. But if Adar is variable, so that's what Rav Nachman is using that Mishnah as a proof that Adar can't be variable. It must always be 29 days. Therefore, we must make it maximally possible for those Edom to show up. And that can only be if we allow them to break Shabbos. That's what we're saying. Mitzvah L'Kaddish Al Ar'iyah. Yeah. We're gonna get to that topic more on the continuation of the Talmud, though, whether there's cases where Beis Din does not need it.
29, then you don't have a choice.
Right. Exactly.
If it's full Shabbos, you have to.
Yeah.
Can they go before Shabbos?
Because you can't see the moon until the night after the 29th.
They wait wherever they are.
No, but we can't expect people to start traveling because they might see the moon tomorrow night. They don't know whether they're gonna see the moon or not. When they see the moon, the night after the 29th, the 30th night of the month, that's when they'll start traveling to Beis Din. Of course they first have to see the moon.
From where they are?
No, not necessarily. I mean, wherever they happen to be, yeah, but you can't expect people to just travel from all over the place towards Yerushalayim on the off chance they might see the moon tomorrow night. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. The Gemara answers, if you're talking about a case where the 30th day, which is going to be the first of Nisan, if you declare Adar 29 days, if that comes out on Shabbos, hachinami. Indeed, that's true. You could explain, you could say, that no, in that case, make Adar 30 days, don't allow the Edom to be Mechal Shabbos, end of story. But what we're talking about over here, what the Mishnah could be talking about, the following Mishnah, is a case where the 31st comes out on Shabbos, meaning you already know 29 days passed, Nobody saw the moon the night after the 29th. Either attacker was invisible or was too close to the mezuzah, as we'll talk about on Amud Beis, or it was cloudy, whatever it was. So, of necessity, it was a 30-day month. Now, the month can never be longer than 30 days. It's always either 29 or 30. There's no other choice. If we're assuming that mitzvah l'kadosh al ra'iyah, that even when it comes to a 30-day month, Beis Din is still supposed to listen to Adim before they declare a new month, then there we go. We don't have a choice. We can't make the day any longer. You can't make the month any longer. You can't make a 31-day adder. But yes, so you, having made a 30-day adder, you have no choice but to allow Adim to break Shabbos to come to Beis Din in order that they'll be able to then declare Rosh Chodesh.
Still doesn't seem to move.
Then at that point, okay. We'll talk about soon what we do if absolutely nobody saw the moon. We'll talk about Maim and Allah Adim. We'll get to that soon. Right. But in this case, if Adim were able to at least see the moon on the night of the 31st, then yeah, we'll allow them to break. We would still want them to break Shabbos to come to Beis Din, because otherwise we don't have Adim to be Mekadosh on.
The problem is if they don't see, they've broken Shabbos from coming.
No. We're talking about if they. We're not the one. Adim don't start traveling for no reason. They start traveling if they saw the moon.
So
we instruct people as follows. We instruct people around Eretz Yisrael. Every month, the night after the 29th, be on the lookout for the moon. If you see it, start traveling to Beis Din. In this case, with Nissan and Tishrei, specifically we're saying that in this case, with Nissan and Tishrei, yeah, in the case of all the other months, we say, but if it's Shabbos, don't bother. In the case of Nissan and Tishrei, the following Mishnah says that if you see it on the night of the 29th, if you see it the night after the 29th, even if that's Friday night, start traveling to Beis Din. And even according to our understanding now, although this isn't the end of the Sogya yet, if you see the moon even the night after the 30th, even though you know for a fact at that point Adar has to be 30 days, there's no choice, nevertheless, still travel. Why? The mitzvah l'kadosh al ra'iyah. It's still a mitzvah to be l'kadosh al ra'iyah. So therefore, so that doesn't prove anything about whether Adar has to be 29 days or not. Masiv Rav Kahana, but Rav Kahana points out another contradiction. The Mishnah continues, Shamikdash Kai Machalan Afakulan Takanat HaKarban. When the Beis Hamikdash was standing, the Edom were allowed to be Machal Shabbos to come to Beis Din for any of the month. This rule that we just said, that the Mishnah says about Nisan and Tishrei, because Nisan and Tishrei are so important because we need to establish the Yom Tovim based on them, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, you could be Machal Shabbos to come, if you saw the moon on Friday night any month, you could be Mechal Shabbos to come to Beis Din, because you had to establish when your Shchodesh is, so they could bring a carbon. They could bring the carbon of your Shchodesh. Now, the assumption, midikulu lavish from the mitzvah of the Kaddish Aleriyah, we assume at this point, Rav Kahana is assuming in his question, that since with the other month, it's not an issue of mitzvah of the Kaddish Aleriyah, because the Mishnah didn't say you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos because mitzvah of the Kaddish Aleriyah. It said you can be Mechal Shabbos in order because of the carbon. Then the assumption is Nissan and Tishrei nami lav mishum de mitzvah l'kadosh al ra'iyah. Then with Nissan and Tishrei also, it's not because of l'kadosh al ra'iyah. In time of the Beis Mikdash, the reason we'd be mechal Shabbos for Nissan and Tishrei is the same as for all the other 10 months to bring the korban. And after the korban, it's because of a different reason. It's because shabahen masaknen as amoyda. It's because those are the months based on which all the yom tovim are fixed.
So you said we do the third month
when the Beis Mikdash was standing. In other words, when they declare a Shchodesh, then they'll bring the carbon. But the point is not because mitzvah l'kadosh al ra'iyah.
But it would be that they may not see it, but they would have to wait like a day.
So if they don't see it, they don't see it. I mean, if Adam can't come if they didn't see anything. Actually, we'll get to that further down on the Amud. But I mean, basically, the idea is, you know, the Rambam describes that. I mean, you could have several months in a row where Adim don't see the moon. Some months because mathematically it's impossible to see it, it's not enough time since the Moilud, and other months because it's cloudy or because it just so happens. I mean, it takes 29 days and a certain number of hours from one Moilud to the next. So it can happen, for example, the Moilud of one month was, let's say, late in the day was late in the day on Rosh Chodesh, and the next month already, you know, it comes the night after the 29th, and already it's not enough time since the previous Moilud, plus the extra hours that we need, as we'll talk about, on Amud Beis, until the moon becomes visible. So, and then you have other months that's cloudy, or it's too small, or whatever it is. So the Rambam says, in that case, what you do actually is based in just goes back to calculation. They start making alternating 29 and 30 days months for as long as necessary to get things back on track. And it happens sometimes not. The Mishnah in Erchin describes, we'll talk about that again soon. They have no choice. You can't keep making a bunch of 29-day months. You can't keep making a bunch of 30-day months. You're going to get out of whack very soon. So you have to do it that way. In Erchin, the Mishnah describes, we'll talk about that also in a little bit soon, that there's a minimum and maximum number of chasera months that you can make in a year. The minimum is 4, the maximum is 8. So therefore, in order to not have too much of a gap between Rosh Chodesh and the actual time when the moon is visible. Besides that they're having Adim come, besides what we're talking about having Adim come, they have to calculate from month to month, and sometimes they have to calculate from months in advance to figure out to make sure that everything stays on track. Yeah. So going back to this, so we're saying that in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, Adim could be Mechal Shabbos for any month to come to Beis Din to say that they saw the moon. Now, Rav Kana's question is, Iyam Peshlema Zimnan Molev Zimnan Chaser, if you say that sometimes Rosh Chodesh, that sometimes Adar, the last Adar before Nisan can be either 29 or 30 day months, then again, Mishamachim Mechal Linen. Well, then that explains why we can be Mechal Shabbos. Because it's not a question of Mitzvah Lekadosh Adariyah. We just established that the Mishnah seems to be implying it's not because of that, but rather because of the Korban. But if you're telling me that Adar is always 29 day month, is always a 29 day month, Amay Mechalalin, and then why do you need to be Mechalal? We know it's going to be 29 days, whether Adim come or not. There's no reason for them to be Mechalal Shabbos. And obviously, Mitzvah Lekadosh Al Ariyah is not an issue, because we're saying the mission implies that there's no Mitzvah Lekadosh Al Ariyah.
It still mean that, to some extent, the Ariyah is important.
No, because then, first of all, then there wouldn't be a difference between before and after the Korban. The fact that the Mishnah is not mentioning Mitzvah Lekadosh Al Ariyah, rather it's saying, in the time of the Beis Mikdash, Afa Kol Mishnah Tekanat HaKorban. In the time, then there's no Beis Hamikdash, only Nisan and Tishrei because of Tekanat HaMoed. The implication is there's no special mitzvah of the Kaddish Al-Ariyah. Whether Adim come or not doesn't matter. Based in can establish Rosh Chodesh based on their calculation. But even before the Chorban, we're saying. That Minhag HaVaseinu V'Yadeinu has to do with the second day of Yom, so that's a different thing. So, Tshuvta. So, that's a contradiction. And indeed, then, that's the conclusion. It's not necessarily the last Adar before Nisan 29 days long. It could be 30, it could be 29. However, Tosfos points out, Tosfos at the end of your Testament Bays points out, that was only when they did the calendar month to month, when the Sanhedrin established the calendar. Nowadays, that we go according to the fixed calculation that Hillel and Nasi set up, in fact, it is true, that rule does hold true. The Adar, the last Adar before Nisan is always Chaser. Why? Tosfos says the reason is because the extra Adar is really Adar Aleph. That's why, for example, we have Purim in Adar Sheni. The extra Adar that we add, fine, is 30 days, but regular Adar in a regular year is 29 days, so therefore, second Adar in a leap year is also 29 days. Some of them, of course, give a different reason, because
the
Adar
is always now, based on
calculations,
29 days.
No, so first Adar nowadays, regular Adar in a regular year is always 29 days.
All right.
It's fixed.
Right.
Therefore, even in a leap year, if we have first and second Adar, the extra Adar, Tosfos says, is the first Adar.
Extra
the extra Adar is the first Adar. The second Adar is the same as the regular Adar in regular years. So therefore, we keep it the same length, 29 days.
So the second Adar is 29 days.
But the first Adar is 30 days. Some of them, of course, give a different reason, because this way, by making that the Adar, by making that, that's the difference. I mean, the first Adar is the extra one. That's why we don't have Purim in it, for example.
Why do we need 30 days for the second Adar?
We need 29 days for the second Adar, because so it should always be consistent. So every year, the Adar close to Nisan is always going to be 29. The fixed Adar is 29 days. So the extra is 30.
The extra one is,
and it's 30 days.
And why is it 30 days?
It doesn't have to be. It could have been 29, but whatever. If we have to make one of them mole, it may as well be the first one, which is extra. Some other proportion give a different reason, because this way you always have a consistent number of days between Purim and Pesach, which avoids confusion. New thing. He also Ula, when Ula came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Omar, he reported Abruha LaElul. This year they made Elul 30 days. Even though we learned yesterday, I mean, most Ezra Va'elach, but Rav had reported that from the time of Ezra, for hundreds of years, they never had to make Elul Ma'over. But it happened this time that Ula came and reported they did, in fact, make it either. Yeah. And Ula lived a couple hundred years after the Beis Hamikdash, but they were still being Mekadosh the Chodesh from month to month. The Sanhedrin was still doing it based on witnesses.
But you're not supposed to do it after when the Merv basically for all is not out of
the No, we're kind of, one has nothing to do with the other.
Okay. As it would have been really exotic to have it not.
Yeah.
And they will move.
No, the setting up of Rosh Chodesh based on observation, based on Adim, has nothing to do with the Beis Hamikdash.
No, I said Rove of
No, it has nothing to do with Rove Yisrael being an Eretz Yisrael either. No. Omar Ula, and Ula also said on this, Yadi Chabrin Bavloi Maitzi Vusa Abdinin Badayu. Do our friends in Bavlo realize what a favor we did for them by making Elul an extra day long? Maitzi Vusa, so what's the favor? Ula Omar Mishum Yarkaya. Ula says the reason is because of vegetables. Meaning, in this case, they made Elul an extra day longer to prevent, we're going to talk about in the continuation of the Sugya, to prevent either Yom Kippur or Sukkot, or Rosh Hashanah for that matter, from being adjacent to Shabbos. The problem with them being adjacent is, if you have vegetables, if you have, for example, they didn't have refrigerators in those days. If you have, for example, vegetables and you can't pick vegetables on either Shabbos or Yom Tov, even though you can do Malachas Eichel Nefesh on Yom Tov, picking vegetables is not Malachas Eichel Nefesh. So if you have vegetables that you picked before Shabbos, let's say, and then Yom Tov comes out on Sunday, by the time you want to eat them on Yom Tov, they're going to be dried out, or vice versa if Yom Tov is on Friday. So Ula is saying that's the reason why they made Elul an extra day, in order that Yom Tov or Yom Kippur, as the case may be, shouldn't be adjacent to Shabbos, shouldn't be on Friday or on Sunday. We'll talk about that in the continuation of the discussion. Incidentally, this and also the next reason, Rabbi Nachmanel says, those aren't the real reasons. The real reasons why they made Elul an extra day longer, that you had to do with calculations. They calculated that the moon is not going to be visible the night before, whatever. Rabbi Nachmanel says that Ula actually didn't know that. They did the details of the calculations we're going to learn on Amud Beis are called Soid HaEber. It's a secret that only the top Chachamim were privileged to know, until hundreds of years later the Rambam wrote it down for all of us to learn. And even then, it still takes. It's not everybody who is able to understand him easily. But
the same way as the Rambam wrote the
rest of Torah Shabbat. He writes over there that he wanted to put it all together so you don't have to go look. You want to know this information, you don't have to go look in Goyish's forum or whatever. You can find it all here. And because that was the Rambam's purpose in writing the Yad Chazaka, is to make something that everybody. What does he say? You know, you should learn Torah Shabbat, and then you can learn the Sefer, and you know everything you need to know. Some details of it are. We're going to load on Amud Beis a couple of interesting statements, but not clear. Right, we'll get to that. So anyway, so according to Rabbi Hanano, Ulo himself didn't know the real reason. This is kind of like the public reason that they gave for the benefit of those who don't know the real reason. So that's Ulo is Mishum Yarkia. Rabbi Acha Bachanina, I'm Mishum Meisaya. Rabbi Acha Bachanina says a different reason, because of dead people. Same idea. What if you have, for example, somebody dies before Shabbos, and then Yom Kippur is going to be on Sunday? You have 2 days in a row you can't bury the body. By the end of Yom Kippur, it's going to be decayed. So you ask my benayu, what's the practical difference between the two reasons? The answer is ikka benayu yom kippurim shechalias achar Shabbos. The nafkamina would be, what if Yom Kippur was going to come out on Sunday? Meaning, and therefore we add an extra day to Elul, so now we're pushing Yom Kippur, and now it'll be on Monday. So mandom mishum meisaya ma'abrinah. So it's the matter of meisim, then we have to add the extra day to Elul. We don't want Yom Kippur to be on Sunday. Lamanda amar yarkaya. Whereas the one who says the problem is the vegetables. Look, la'emas kabari lahu. When do you need these vegetables? Lo'uta. You only need the vegetables in the evening, because you can't eat on Yom Kippur anyway. You only need them for the meal, to break the fast. Fine. Lo'uta torah chamaisi. Comes matzah Yom Kippur. You can go pick fresh vegetables. So we don't have to push off Yom Kippur a day because of that issue. Which, Mefarshim asks a question, if Yom Kippur was going to be on Sunday, means that Sukkot is going to be on Friday, because Sukkot is 5 days later. So you're back to the same question. Mela, as far as dead bodies, you don't have an issue with Sukkot, because you're allowed to have goyim bury them on the first day, as we're going to talk about in a minute. But the vegetables, wouldn't you have the same issue with vegetables? And the answer is, the Gemara is going to establish soon that when it comes to vegetables, sit down, But when it comes to the vegetables, the Gemara is going to point out in a minute, you have an option, you can soak them in hot water and revive them that way. So the Gemara assumed at this point, that the Gemara knows at this point that answer, and therefore doesn't ask about the Sukkot issue.
And the great thing, you can do it on Yom
Kippur. Yes. That's true, but if you don't have a choice, then yeah. Yeah. Oh, the Gemara asks, though. Fine, but even Ulo, who mentioned vegetables, does agree that there is the issue of Mesim as well. So even according to him, granted you don't have to be ma'aber because of the vegetables, because we'll just pick fresh vegetables, Matzah Yom Kippur, but still, doesn't he agree you have an issue of Mesim as well? What does he do with that?
Ulo, who said because of
Yerukos, he also agreed there is an issue of Mesim. You can't bury Mason on Shabbos. You can't bury them on Yom Kippur. He would have to agree with that. So what would he say? Ella ikibinai Yom Tov Asamach LaShabbos Ben Rav Chanina Ben Lacharev. So no, rather we can say that the Nachkamina would be if Yom Tov, either Rosh Hashanah or Sukkot, is going to be adjacent to Shabbos, whether before or after it, meaning that Yom Tov would come out on Friday or on Sunday. Namely, Manda Amar Shem Yakaya Ma'abrinan. According to the opinion that says because of vegetables, now we're ignoring the thing about the hot water, we haven't, because the Gemara hasn't brought that up yet. So yes, you can be you can be Ma'abr Elul for the sake of that, so you'll have fresh vegetables. Because again, you can't pick fresh ones on either Shabbos or Yom Kippur. Or Umanda Amar Mishum Mesaya, where the opinion that says because of Mesim, that's not a problem, because Efshar Ba'amami, because in that case, you can always have, if the first day of Yom Tov comes out on Friday, if Yom Tov comes out on Friday, and then comes Shabbos, fine, you can have Goyim bury the body on Friday. Or vice versa, or the other way around also, if the one day Yom Tov comes out on Sunday, same idea. The rule is, we learned in Beisa, that the first day of Yom Tov, if necessary, you have Goyim bury the body. The second day of Yom Tov, you can have even Jews bury it. Nowadays, the practical matter, we don't do that for various reasons, but whatever, in principle, that's the halacha.
But also, it's not the one with the vegetables, more of a thing with Yom Kippur, because with all the other ones, you would have the same issue with the mason.
Well, that's what we're saying over here. According to the opinion, that's what we're saying. According to the opinion that because of Yerukas, yes, we should be Ma'aber, not just because of Yom Kippur being adjacent to Shabbos, but even because of the vegetables. Mason wouldn't be an issue with Yom Tov, but vegetables would. Because you can have Goyim do it, but vegetables would be an issue. But you're still back to the question, Lamando Amar Mishum Mesaya, La'aber Mishum Yakaya. According to the opinion of Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, the problem is the Mesaya, the dead bodies. La'aber Mishum Yakaya. Don't they agree that you still have the issue of vegetables? What would they say about that? And the answer is Efshar B'chamimi. They would answer that you could put them in hot water. You can revive them in hot water. Well, there's a couple of other explanations what chamimi means. By the way, one of them is that one of them is that Rabbi Hananel says that the vegetables may be hot. They won't be chilly like they are when you first pick them, but they're still edible. And another explanation Rabbi Hananel says is you could cook them. You can make a soup out of them. So they don't have to be perfectly fresh. Whatever it is. So that's the issue then. If you have Yom Tov going to come out either on Friday or on Sunday, you don't have an issue with mason, but you do have an issue with vegetables. And that's unless we say that you could use hot water on them. And that would be the Nafkamina. According to Ula, that would be a reason to make Elul an extra day longer to prevent Sukkot from coming out on Friday or on Sunday. And according to Rabbi Chaya Chanina, no. Tosfos, by the way, points out, I mean, you have the same thing that we talked about in reverse. If Sukkot is going to come out on Friday, then it means Yom Kippur is going to be on Sunday. So you're back to the same thing that we talked about before. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam. And Tosfos says, don't be goadeth ben mil for now. You're only talking about you want to prevent Sukkot from coming out on Sunday. You're not worried about it coming out on Friday. However, the Baal Amar says that we're not only talking about Sukkot, we can also be talking about Shavuos. The Baal Amar says, according to this explanation, we want to prevent Shavuos from coming out on Friday either. Shavuot is a very hot time of the year. So it's not just Tishrei is a hot time, it's the end of the summer, but so Shavuot also tends to be hot. So therefore, you still have the same issue of yakia, of vegetables.
Because they can spoil.
Whereas Pesach, we're not so worried about that, and therefore Pesach is not an issue with it being on Sunday. Okay, based on all of this, whether we're saying it's vegetables or whether we're saying it's dead bodies, then what's the difference? Why Ula starts off by saying, do our chaverim in Babel know what a favor we did for them? Why in Babel? Same thing of Maishan Lididan. What's the difference for us? After Lididunami, the same good applies for the people of Eretz Yisrael also. Why is Ula talking about it as if it's only a favor for the Bnei Babel? The answer is Lididan Chavilon Alma. For us in Babel, it's a very hot climate. Babel is low-lying. In those times, it was very fertile. Nowadays, it's mostly a desert, but in those times, it was very fertile, and it was humid, and it was low-lying. So therefore, yeah, vegetables and bodies will spoil quicker over there. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not so hot, it's mostly mountainous, and therefore, there's much less of a chance of this being an issue over there. Yeah. And it depends, but it's still cooler than it is in Babel. And the Baal Amar also adds about this thing that he was talking about relative to Shavuos and the other Yom Tovim, that he makes a distinction between places that are close to Eretz Yisrael and Babel. Even the places that are closer to Eretz Yisrael, where the Shluchim will be able to reach them in time to tell them when Yom Tov is, they're also, relatively speaking, they have the same climate as Eretz Yisrael. Babel, which is much further away, has a completely different climate.
But is that so much true as much today? Because like Israel is now has more rain, from what I can tell, than a lot of the other places.
Right. Well, that's because there's a lot more. There's a lot more tree cover now in Eretz Yisrael than there was. But in the time of the Gemara, there also was. I mean, the time of the Gemara, Eretz Yisrael was still very fertile. But yes, but so were the surrounding countries, and they've gradually gotten deforested. But yeah. Okay. So in the end, by the way, you know, we do actually have in the fixed calendar that we use nowadays, we push off Rosh Hashanah from being on Wednesday or Friday in order that Yom Kippur will not be on Friday or Sunday, basically because it comes out in the fixed calendar that we use. We're not so worried about the Yaukiya issue. We're not so worried about the vegetable issue, because again, Efshe B'chamimi, you can use hot water on them. We're only worried about the Messiah issue, and that's only an issue when it comes to Yom Kippur. So therefore, we make sure we take care that Yom Kippur can't be on Friday or on Sunday.
Can the Goyim do it on Yom Kippur?
Do what? Bury the bodies? No. The same dinim that apply to Shabbos apply to Yom Kippur. Just like you can't have Goyim bury a... You can't tell Goyim to do Malacha for you on Shabbos. You also can't tell them to do Malacha for you on Yom Kippur, even for Mesim. Only for Yom Kippur do we make an exception. So that's the underlying reason, and that's not the underlying reason, but it's one of the underlying reasons why we don't have Yom Kippur on Friday or on Sunday, is because of this Messiah issue. The other day that we don't have Rosh Hashanah come out on a Sunday, that's for a different reason. That's why Shiner Rabbah doesn't come out on Shabbos, because then we wouldn't be able to beat the Arabas. We talked about that in Sukkah. Yeah. Now, so, but what were we saying? What did we get out of this whole discussion? We said that we ended up making, Ullah is saying, they ended up making Elul 30 days long, not because of any calculation, but just because they figured out, just because they wanted to make it convenient for the people of Babel, so they don't have Yom Tov or Yom Kippur or whatever on an inconvenient day of the week. So the Gemara asked, Eini, is that really so? That you're allowed to do that? I would think that just like you're allowed to make an Ibuyar for need, meaning we talked about a couple of weeks ago about the various reasons why you can make, why Beis Din can declare a leap year. There can be because besides that the actual equinox is going to be too late, it's going to be already after Pesach begins. But there can be other reasons, because the body's not ripe yet, because the fruit on the trees aren't ripe yet, etc. So you're allowed to declare an Ibriyar L'Tzorech. So you would think, Rabbi Bar Shmuel says, Kach Ma'aben is a Chodesh L'Tzorech. So also you're allowed to make a month longer for need, meaning not because you calculated that, not because witnesses came late or whatever, but because you find a need, like in this case with Yauki or Mace, yeah? Talmud Lama, no, Chodesh has Elacham Rosh Chodashim. This month should be the first month for you, meaning Chazer Eva Kadosh. You have to see the moon like this, and declare the new month holy. In other words, you don't have the option of delaying it a day. If witnesses come and say that they saw the moon, then that's it. As soon as the moon is visible, you have to declare Rosh Chodesh. So we're kind of adding an extra day. Amar Rava, l'kasher kan l'abroi kan l'kadshei. It's not a problem, because there's a difference between l'abroi, meaning to make the month longer, or l'kadshei, meaning to declare it in its proper time, to declare a 29-day month, where Rosh Chodesh is the 30th. V'achakama, no, any month. V'achakama, what the B'raisa means actually is like this. Yacho k'shem shema abrin et hashanah v'et hachodesh l'tzorech. I would think that just like you're allowed to declare a year longer by making an ibriyar, and a month longer by making a 30-day month l'tzorech for any necessary need, you would think kach makadosh et hachodesh l'tzorech. So also, you're allowed to be makadosh the chodesh after 29 days for a need. In other words, even if witnesses don't show up, you should be allowed to say that, Basin should be allowed to say that's it, it's a 29-day month. 30th is Rosh Chodesh, even though no witnesses showed up. That's what we're saying, no, Kazera Eva Kadesh. When it comes to making a short month, you have to have witnesses. When it comes to making a long month, you don't. Then you have that Tzorach, yeah. And this is like what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said. We can threaten the Edim, I'll tell you in a second what that means, about when the new moon was seen in its time. Throughout the Sugya, throughout these next few blocks, whenever we talk about the moon being seen in its time, means the night of the 30th, means after 29 days of the month, the night before the 30th.
No later.
That's called Bismanoi. Because if Beis Din accepts that testimony and declares Rosh Chodesh, then Rosh Chodesh is on the 30th, which is called Bismanoi.
Anything after the 30th
is not Bismanoi, yeah. So Rabbi Shimon Levi said, you're allowed to threaten Edim because of the Chodesh Shenir B'Zmane, which was seen in its time on the night after the 29th, La'abroi, to declare it instead of 30-day month. We threaten the witnesses to tell them We don't to tell them don't testify. Don't come to Beis Din. We don't want to hear from you. Go away. We don't want to hear from you. We want it to be a 30-day month.
We can do that.
But you cannot threaten Edim where the moon was not visible in its proper time to be Mekadosh. In other words, you can't tell the Edim, we know you didn't see the moon, but we want you to come to Beis Din and say that you saw it anyway so we can declare a 29-day month. You can't do that. You
can't tell them.
You can't tell them to you can't tell them to testify about something they didn't see. If they didn't see the moon the night after the 29th, you can't force them to say that they did. But you can the other way around. If they did see it the night of the 30th, which is called Bismano, you can tell them, Maimon, we're going to threaten you. Get away from here. We don't want to hear from you. And we want the month to be one day longer in order that we can push off Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur or whatever. So that's what we're saying. In other words, that's how Rava is explaining Rava Bar Shmuel's Braisa, that when we say that you're not allowed to be ma'aber as a chodesh l'tzarech. Rava is fixing that up and saying what it means is you're not allowed to be mekadesh as a chodesh l'tzarech. You're not allowed to, when we have some reason, let's say for example that we don't want Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur to be on an inappropriate day of the week, we can't artificially make it a 29-day month if no witnesses actually saw the moon. But we can artificially make it a 30-day month if witnesses did see it, and we tell them we don't want to hear from you. The Gemara asks back, "Any? But is that really so?" But Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya sent a message to Rabbi Ami that he said the other way around. Hevu Yodin, you should know, Shekol Yom of Rabbi Yochanan Hayim Alamdeinu. Throughout Rabbi Yochanan's life, he used to teach us that it was the other way around. Ma'ayman la'edim alachodesh shalonu Rabbi Zman alakadshoy. You can threaten the edim for a month that was not seen in its time to be Mekadosh it, so meaning in other words they did not see the moon on the 29th, but nevertheless you threaten them and force them to testify that they did, that even though they didn't see it, you force them to say we did see it.
One second,
I'll tell you what the... So
they didn't see it, how can you force them to say that they did?
Right, so that's the big question. So there's a few possibilities. Rabbi Hananel says that what we're talking about over here is, for example, suppose that they come and they say, we're not sure if what we saw was the moon. We're not sure. Normally, as we're going to learn in the next parak, Beis Din would interrogate the Edim very carefully. They would, what did you see? What shape was it? What size was it? Etc. Like, and one example is, let's say the Edim come and say we glanced and we saw it, and then afterwards when we tried to pay attention, we didn't notice it anymore. Then we ignore that because we say maybe they just saw a sliver of cloud that for a second looked like the moon. Here, if they come and say. For example, we saw something that might have been the moon, might not. We're ma'ayim on them. In other words, we tell them we don't want to. Don't do us any favors. Don't try to second guess yourselves. You saw something. You think it's the moon. Fine. We're being mekadosh l'chodesh on that basis. That's what Rebbe Hananel says it means. However, having said that, there are actually some mafoshim. Rabbi Akiva Eger talks about this, for example, that argue that when it comes to Eidus HaChodesh, even though normally we have a din, obviously you're not allowed to testify falsely, Rabbi Akiva Eger argues that when it comes to Eidus HaChodesh, that doesn't apply because there's no re'acha, there's no colleague over here, there's no other party to the argument.
And
the
Edishter is not a colleague?
No.
I mean, he's not a colleague.
No. Because, in fact, we'll learn in the next parak, the Beis Din has latitude. They have Atam Afilo Shogin, Atam Afilo Mizidin. So, yes, according to that way of looking at it, they actually can tell Edim, we want you to stand up over here and testify that you saw the moon,
right,
even though you didn't. It's not Rebecca Vega saying this. Don't call it gross. That's what Sheldon.
How can you force Edim to say something they never saw?
But that's according to that way of looking at it. You can, because you need it in order. You need to establish a calendar for the Jewish people. You need to be able to make it that the Yom Tovim come out in their proper times. You need to make sure. Another example Rashi says is that we're going to get to in a second. Again, we were talking about before that there's a minimum and maximum number of Chadashim Chaserim you can have in a year. So let's say, for example, that you have, you already had eight long months in the year. You're stuck. That's the maximum you can have. You can't have any more than that. So then you have no choice. You have to make a short month. So then in that case, if it needs to be there, you have to force Edim, then you force Edim. That's what we're saying.
I'll make that
decision. Yeah. The Rambam, by the way, has a completely different explanation of this whole concept of Ma'ayim and Ala Edim. Maybe because the Rambam had a problem with this question of about how can you have them lie. The Rambam's explanation of it is, imagine you have that Edim come, that no Edim came on the 30th day, so Beis Din said, fine, it's a 30-day month, Rosh Chodesh is the 31st, let's start counting from there. 4 or 5 days later, Edim show up in Beis Din, they straggle in, you know, we saw the moon last week on the proper night. We can't just kick them out. But that's what the Rambam says over here means ma'aymin. We threaten them. We do everything possible. We cross-examine them on the minutest details and everything in order to get them to contradict themselves in order so that we can throw out their aides. If none of that helps, if they still stand firm, and then okay, you have no choice. You have to recount that much.
That I understand.
But that's the Rambam's explanation of ma'aymin.
Okay.
Also, it's kind of like what the. And Rashi says on don't go right or left of the bum and not because the Torah is a higher level of knowledge than us, and what it has is usually
One other thing, by the way, that Rambam points out in that connection also, and this also goes into Rabbi Akiva Eger's thing as well, that Rambam points out, we know when it comes to Eger's usually, you have a concept of Hazama. Where,
No,
you think of Asura. Hazama is Edim, Reuben and Shimon come to Beis Din and say that we saw Edim Zemmen, yeah.
Right.
That the Reuben and Shimon come and say we saw such and such happen. You know, we saw Pliny being Machal Shabbos in Brooklyn on such and such a Shabbos, and Levi and Yehuda come and say, how could you say that on that day you were with us in L.A.? Now, what happens if such a thing happens with Edus Achodesh? What happens if Reuben and Shimon come and say we saw the moon in Yerushalayim? And Levi and Yehuda come along wanting to be Edim Zomim and say, what are you talking about? You were with Tel Aviv on that night.
According to the Rambam,
we don't want to hear from those Edim Zomim. We're ma'ayim on them. We threaten them. Get away. We don't want to hear from you.
Right.
Now, so the Rabbi Akiva, this fits into Rabbi Akiva Eger's thing because normally one rule of Edus, one of the basic rules of Edus, is it has to be Edus Sha'ata Yochel Hazima. It has to be Edus that is capable of having Zomim. Here we're saying we don't want to hear from Zomim. So therefore, we see that's a different kind of Edus.
They're still capable, even if we don't want to hear
them. No. But if they're not, if we don't hear from them, then it's not an Edus that's capable of... Edus Shata Yochel Azima means that there's a possibility that Edim Zemim could come. Here there isn't, because Beis Din's not going to accept it.
Right.
Anyway, so we have a contradiction. We had Rabbi Shurban Levi saying that you cannot... That you cannot be ma'ayim on Edim to tell that to make them say that they saw the moon when they really didn't. And Rabbi Hoda Nesia is saying that Rabbi Yochanan said you can. It's not a question because one's talking about Nissan and Tishrei. So then, even if it's not always, and it's going to be Rav also. Wait, one is talking about Nissan and Tishrei. The other one is talking about the other month. Namely, Rashi says what that means is Nissan and Tishrei. It's so important to establish them on the correct dates because all the Yom Tovim depend on them. So therefore, we're willing to even allow that we should have we should even threaten Edim to make them say they saw the moon when they didn't in order to establish them on the correct days. The other months, it's not so important, so we don't bother with that. But Nissan and Tishrei, yes. Other Tosfos points out that other Meforshim, for example, the Baal Amor, explain the other way around. Nissan and Tishrei, because the Yom Tovim depend on them, then. We can't base them on a falsehood like that. Whereas the other month, fine, you know, if we have to, we have to. Rava Amar, Hada Tanu Rava Bar Shmuel Achirim. He Rava has a different explanation. This that Rava Bar Shmuel is saying that you cannot be ma'aber at Hashanah at Lachzorach. So we tried fixing up the wording of the Braisa. It's not ma'aber in b'makadshin. But going back to Rava has a different explanation. This that Rava Bar Shmuel said, you can never make a month 30 days for any other purpose other than the fact that the moon really wasn't visible, is according to Acherim. The Tanya, we learned at Bryce, we have this, usually Acherim means Remeir, yeah, we had this 2 weeks ago. Acherim Omim, Ein Ben Atzeres La'Atzeres, there was never between one Shavuos and the next, the Ein Ben Rosh Hashanah La'Rosh Hashanah, and there's never between one Rosh Hashanah and the next, El Abdalib Yom Bilad, only 4 days in the week. Because, according to Acherim, the months are strictly alternating, 30 and 29, 30 and 29, throughout the year. 6 months of 30 days and 6 months of 29 days equals 354. Divide that by weeks. Divide that into weeks. You end up with a remainder of 4 days. So, according to Acherim, there's always 4 days in the week between 1 year's Rosh Hashanah and the next. If it was a leap year, then five, because they say that the extra Adar is always 29 days. 29 days is 4 weeks in a day. So, therefore, we end up with an extra day. Which Tosfos points out that from a Gemara and Erchin, that even according to Achirim, once in a while you have to have a year that's a little longer, because otherwise you have the extra hours and whatever that add up to a day. But that's still not Lutzorich. That's still not making an extra month. That's still not making an extra long month for any other external reason. That's just because of the actual calendar calculations themselves. It comes out basically, according to Achirim, you really don't need Edim at all. You really only go based on Cheshvan, and then you have a fixed calendar based on that. But anyway, so according to them, then there's no room for making months shorter or longer based on need. There's a strict alternation over there. So Rav Bar Shmuel, according to Achirim, the Rav Bar Shmuel's Braisa, which says that you're not allowed to be ma'aber, it's a shachodesh and tzarech. You're not allowed to make a 30-day month for an external reason, for a side reason. That would be according to Achirim, because according to Achirim, every month that's 29 days. It's a given. It's going to be 29 days no matter what.
Before the destruction?
It doesn't matter. At some point, and until as long as they were calculating the calendar month to month. So according to Achirim, it was a fixed thing. Rabbi Dimi min Ahavda Matne Yibcha. Rabbi Dimi min Ahavda learned this statement of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya the other way around. This that we use as a question. We have this contradiction. Oh, not Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya's, rather Rabbi Yehuda Ben Levi's statement that he said that you can threaten Edim to make them go away so you can have a 30-day month, but not to make them make a 29-day month. So the Dimi min Ahavda says that the other way around. You can threaten Edim when the moon was not seen in its proper time to make it to be Mekadosh it, and I would make the month 29 days long when necessary.
So
here we're saying the other way around. But you cannot threaten them when the moon was visible in its correct time to tell them, go away, we don't want to hear from you, we want a 30-day month. This is Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya's version, which therefore agrees exactly with what Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya said. My time, and now what would be the logic? What would be the logic of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya's version?
As opposed to
the previous. The previous one we understood. We said you can't force Adam to testify about what they didn't see, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya's version, the first version that we said. Now we're saying the other way around, you can't. Why is that? Because high mechzik kishikra, because the one case looks like a falsehood. Namely, what happens when the moon is visible on the night after the 29th? These Edim that showed up are probably not the only ones who saw it. Probably other people saw it also. So if Basin says, go away, we want a 30-day month, everybody's going to start saying, what is Basin talking about? Everybody could see the moon last
night.
That's
what I had in mind when I asked this question.
That was a difference. Whereas Haiva in Mechzik Kishikra, whereas in the second case, it doesn't look like such a lie because, okay, you know, so you didn't see it, okay, you know, we didn't see it either, you know. Fine, Adam came and saw it, fine, they got lucky, they saw it. We didn't happen to notice it. So it doesn't look like such an obvious falsehood. New topic, well, not really new topic, whatever, sort of a new topic on the subject of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is now going to get into a little bit of the Seder Iber that we were talking about, the secrets that the Chachamim use to calculate the months. And this next piece actually is one that many different Mefarshim have many, many different explanations, very complicated mathematical and astronomical explanations of. So let's see what we can do with
the,
it.
The numbering that we mentioned last time.
This is like the calculation of how much is in a whole lunar account.
No, but it's going to be something. It's going to be as far as when the relation between the molad and when the moon is visible. Basically, the molad is the moment when the earth and the moon and the sun are all lined up. So therefore, the moon is invisible because the lit side of it is facing the sun. It's facing away from us. Then it gradually moves out of that line because the moon moves. The sun moves about a degree a day, but the moon moves about 13 degrees a day. So they get out of alignment about 12 degrees a day. That's why it takes a month for them to get back into alignment. So gradually, as the moon moves out of that line in between, here's the sun, here's the moon, here's the earth. At the beginning of the month, the moon is over here. So the lit side of it is facing the sun. It's invisible to us. Gradually it moves over here. This is the sun. Gradually it moves over here. And now a little bit of its lit side is also facing us. So we see a tiny little crescent. Further, further until we see a half moon, a whole moon, etc. Yeah. There's a certain amount of time after the molad, after the, there's a certain amount of time with, from when the moon is in that line, which is the molad, until it's first visible, until there's a certain amount of time before it becomes visible again, and conversely also there's a certain amount of time at the end of the month when it's invisible, because it's too close to the sun, which means, first of all, it rises or sets too closely after the sun, so the sun, the sun's glare drowns it out, and number two, because the crescent is too small. That's
the proof that
that's what we're going to be talking about.
The rotation wasn't circular, but it was
Yeah, that's true, right? Right.
That
that's,
is the proof.
No, that's not the proof. That's not circular. No, that's one has nothing to do with the other. The reason why there's not an eclipse every month is because the moon is not in a straight. It's in a straight line. It's in a straight line looking downward, but not looking across. The moon would be, let's say, here, so it doesn't block the sun's light. When there's an eclipse, it means the moon is
that. No, I mean it's elliptical.
It is elliptical, but that's for a different reason. That one has nothing to do with the other.
No, it should just be the same. Okay.
Yeah. But all right. Shmuel says, I would be able to fix the calendar for the entire Goyla, for all the Jews above El. Meaning, he was a great expert in astronomy. We find that in a number of places in the Gemara. He's saying, we in Babel are having to depend, in Halacha, of course, they have to depend on the on what the Chachamim and Eretz Yisrael determine. But Shmuel is saying, No, he's not saying we can do without them. The fact is, the Halacha is you need them. He's saying, though, like this. Mathematically, I could figure it out. What does that help us? It helps us, he's saying, that we in Babel should not have to keep 2 days. One explanation of Mephoshim is that we in Babel should not have to keep 2 days of Yom Tov to be on the safe side, because we should be able to figure out, I should be able to figure out, logically, when the moon will be visible and when it won't be, which will agree with what the Chachamim and Eretz Yisrael are doing, and therefore we'll know in advance when they declare Rosh Chodesh, even before Shluchim actually show up.
Equivalent to saying that he needs the Chachamim for the first day, not for the second.
Sort of, but no, what it amounts to saying is, yes, when the Shluchim come, then of course we'll continue going according to them, we'll count the rest of the month according to them, but up until that point, why should we have to keep 2 days Yom Tov? We know mathematically when the people in Eretz Yisrael declared Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
No, because they didn't have Minhag HaTzeinu, yeah. But that's one way of looking at it. A different way of looking at it is a slightly different idea that he's saying that even if we were to never have Shluchim from Eretz Yisrael, basically we can do our own calculation until they finally send somebody from Eretz Yisrael and we can resync up. I would be capable of making such a calculation, he says.
Chachamim agreed to that.
Well, so Abba, the father of Reb Simloy, asked Shmuel, Yoda Mar Hai Milsa de Tanya Besoida Iber, do you know the meaning of the following statement that it says in Soida Iber, that it says in the Soida Iber, Rashi says a Braisa that discusses these things, but it's written very cryptically. So it says the following statement, Nolad Kodim Chatzos or Nolad Acha Chatzos, whether the moon's Molad was before Chatzos or after Chatzos. Do you, Shmuel, understand the significance of that statement? What's the difference whether the Molad was before Chatzos or after Chatzos? He says no. Amalei, so Abba says to him, well, then if you don't know that detail, there may well be other details that you don't know. So don't think that you can set up the calendar and know that you're exactly synchronized with how they do it in Eretz Yisrael, because there are details of the rules that you don't know about.
Before Chatzos means in Eretz Yisrael, or
so we're going to get to that now. That's part of the discussion among the Mephoshim, what this next piece of Gemara means. Ki Solis Reb Zera, when Reb Zera came up from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Shalach Lahu, he sent to his friends back home in Babel, he sent them the following message. There has to be the night and the day belong to the new month. They're actually minachodesh, actually from the new moon. Which means so the on this line itself, there's a few different
new moon is has to be seen at night.
The moon obviously is only seen at night.
Moon.
No, Rashi says it means like this. Again. We're talking about that. The Gemara is going to establish in a minute that there is a certain amount of time from when the moon gets into conjunction. It's called when it's in that straight line over there until it moves enough to be visible, until the crescent is big enough and it's far enough from the sun to be visible. Rav Zera is saying that the whole previous night of Rosh Chodesh, the whole night before the day that we're declaring Rosh Chodesh, has to be part of the new moon cycle, not part of the old moon. Meaning Normally, if the old moon is going to be visible at the end of the month, it'll be visible in the morning, shortly before the sun rises, because it rises a little bit before the sun does at that. But very rarely, it's possible also, this is how Rashi explains it, very rarely it's possible to see it also at the end, at the nighttime, around sunset. But if you see the old moon after sunset, Rav Zeira is saying, you cannot declare that day Rosh Chodesh.
Where do they think
that? That's what we were saying. We're going to get to soon where we learn this from. We'll get to that at the end of the Amud. I don't know if we're going to get through this whole sugya today, because, like I say, it's very complicated, so we may have to continue with the rest of it tomorrow. But anyway, so you need that the Laila B'Yom should be Min HaChodesh. Now, Rashi points out, I mean, so what? Of course, if you saw the old moon the night of the 30th, then obviously you're not going to see the new moon the same night also. We're going to say soon that there's a minimum 24-hour period between the old moon and the new moon being visible. Rashi says what it is like this. If you saw the old moon the night of Rosh Chodesh, then you can't use that rule of Ma'aymin that we said before. This rule that we said Ma'aymin is in the normal situation when the moon is completely invisible the night of the 29th. You want to say to Edim, tell us that you saw the moon, even though you really didn't find that, we can say. But if the old moon was visible, that you can't do. Because everybody saw that the old moon was visible that night. They're going to know that belongs to the previous month, not the next one.
So if really the new moon is after Chatzos at night,
no, Chatzos we'll get back to in a minute. Right. So far, though, we're saying that the moon that's visible, the night of Rosh Chodesh, has to be the new moon. Tosfos has a big problem with this whole explanation. Among other things, Tosfos argues that you don't see the old moon at night anyway. You only see, if you're going to see a moon at night, it's going to be the new moon. So Tosfos has a different explanation, that it means that the molad itself has to be before nightfall. The actual conjunction of the moon has to be before nightfall.
And if it's not, then
that day can't be Rosh Chodesh. We'll probably get to tomorrow, because at this point I don't think we have time for it today. We'll probably get to tomorrow what the Baal HaMor explains about this whole sugya. But for now, let's just continue the next few lines according to Rashi. And this fits with what Abba said, with what Abba, the father of Reb Simloi, said, Machashmen es Taldosa, that you figure out the Molad, Nolad Kodim Chatzos. What's the significance now we understand of Nolad Kodim Chatzos La Chatzos? We mean Chatzos Hayoim. We mean midday. It takes, there's a certain amount of time that it takes, that's going to be the next piece of Gemara. There's a certain amount of time it takes from conjunction until the moon is visible. If the molad was before Chatzos, biyadua shenira samach l'shkia zechama, then we know it will be visible close to Shkia, the new moon. Because, as the Gemara is going to say soon, it's a minimum of 6 hours from molad, from conjunction, until the appearance of the new moon. So if the molad was before Chatzos, we're talking Nisan Tishrei time, when the sun rises and sets, when the sun rises and sets and sets at six, then you should be able to see it just before Shkia. Whereas if the molad was not before Chatzos, then we know it's not visible, it's not going to be visible, and therefore we can't declare, so that's the significance of this molad kodem Chatzos or acha Chatzos, which Shmuel didn't know about. That's what it means. Molad kodem Chatzos or acha Chatzos tells us, is the moon going to be visible that evening? What's the practical difference of knowing that? The importance of knowing that is to contradict the witnesses. If we calculate that the molad was after Chatzos, and witnesses come and say, we saw the moon that night, we know they're lying. Because it can never be less than 6 hours.
They can calculate when exactly the moon was.
Yeah, that's the calculations that the Rambam gives in the last 9 chapters allow for that kind of thing, of calculating exactly the moon's position at any moment relative to the sun. And that's what you need to know. So you can calculate the exact moment of the molad. In our calendar nowadays, we also use a similar rule. In our calendar, we have a rule called molad zaken, which says that if the molad, we're talking about the average molad, not the true molad, but whatever, if calculated molad, the average molad of Tishrei, comes out any time at or after Chatzos Hayom, at or any time after midday, then we push off Rosh Hashanah to the next day. Or the day after that, if it's going to be one of the days that Rosh Hashanah is not allowed to come out on. So, for example, if the molad, let's say, comes out on Thursday afternoon, Thursday after Chatzos, then instead of making Rosh Hashanah on Thursday, we don't make it on Thursday because the molad is after Chatzos. According to what we're saying here, the moon's not going to even be visible that night. We don't make it Friday either because Rosh Hashanah can't come out on Friday, so we push it to Shabbos. That molad is called that dechia, that rule is called molad zaken, and it's at least partly based on our Gemara over here that if the molad is after chatzis, there's no possible way that the moon is going to be visible that night. Now, according to Rashi, this is all talking about in Yerushalayim, or wherever the Beis Din is, that if the Molad is at Chatzos, Yerushalayim time, or after Chatzos, there's no way that it's going to be visible before Shkia, also Yerushalayim time. So now I will...
It can be south of Israel, and then it could possibly be...
What does south have to do with it? If anything, east and west, but...
No.
Why would south help anything?
Because there would be less time between... the new moon and Shkia, south of Israel.
So less time means even worse off. But
why?
Because then you have less time. It takes a certain amount of time for the crescent to grow big enough to see. But again, we're talking Nisan and Tishrei. We're talking primarily Nisan and Tishrei time. Nisan and Tishrei time, around the equinoxes, sunrise and sunset are the same everywhere in the world. I mean, nowadays they're not because of time zones, but that's a different matter. But you know, when they use solar time, the Nisan and Tishrei time, the sun sets around 6 everywhere in the world. That's why we use that. It is interesting, actually, in the time of Rav Sadia Gaon, actually Rashi quotes Rav Sadia Gaon as his authority for this whole discussion over here, for his explanation of the Gemara over here, which again we'll continue with tomorrow. But in Rav Sadia Gaon's time, there was a Rosh Hashiva, the head Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Aaron Rav Meir, his name was, who claimed that he had a different Masora of how this rule works. He claimed that the cutoff point is not Chatzos, but 642 Chalakim after Chatzos, about 35 minutes. So according to him, if the molad is within that amount of time after Chatzos, you can still make Rosh Hashanah that day. And it happened in that period when he and Rav Sadia Gaon were alive. There was such a year, and there ended up being a tremendous machlokas between him and Rav Sadia whether this rule is correct or whether the rule that we have, exactly Chatzos, is correct. Obviously, they both discussed based on our Gemara over here. In the end, the halacha was accepted like Rav Sadia. What?
642.
Not 642, that we say exactly Chatzos.
Oh, exactly.
Exactly Chatzos is the cutoff point. But obviously they were discussing based on this Gemara also, no the Kodim Chatzos and Chatzos, so that came into the picture. Where exactly this Ben Meir got his extra 642 Chalakim, nobody's been able to figure out for sure. One idea was that you have a certain amount of time after Shkia when you're still able to see the moon. It takes the moon a little bit of time to set. If the molad is at exactly sunset, then the sun and moon are in the same line, so they'll set at the same time. But if it's a couple of hours later, the moon will set a little bit later than the sun. So therefore, you have a little bit of time. The Rambam, for example, in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh describes that you have up to about 20 minutes after Shkia to still see the moon. So that may have been part of what Ben Meir was basing his 35 minutes on, the 642 Chalakim, is that it doesn't exactly have to be Chatzos. You have a little bit of extra leeway over there. Whereas Rav Sadia, and this is the Halakha as was established, is no, it's exactly Chatzos. Not even one Chalak later. Well, let's learn the next couple of lines of Gemara also according to Rashi, and then again, tomorrow we'll go over this whole thing and explain it according to the Baal Amar, and according to sort of Yitzchak Abalia, and according to a number of other Rishonim that have some very interesting mathematical explanations of it. Amar of Zera, Amar of Nachman, Chof Dalad Shoy Michsi Siara, the moon is invisible, it's covered for 24 hours. Lidi Dan, for us, meaning in Babel, Shisme Atika, it's 6 hours of the old moon, meaning the last 6 hours of... Siara is the moon, yeah. This last 6 hours of the old moon, and 18 hours of the new moon, meaning it's covered, it's invisible. So when the moon is coming around, it comes over here, within 6 hours of the point of conjunction, it's going to be invisible to Bnei Babel, and for the next 18 hours after that also, so total 24 hours, and then it'll be visible again.
If you say that the moon has a...